Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And as I had said on the show, when we got on the air on Friday night, I said to Bud and to Robert, it seems like we're always here. And, you know.
Yeah, well, it's been 2 days. It still seems that way?
Robert, what's it feel like to you?
Yeah, it still feels like I've been here.
Me too.
I can't even feature that. I don't know what it means.
It's just either you get it or you don't, Bud. The fact is that there is a feeling that I have, kind of like that Black Eyed Peas song, I Got a Feeling, you know, or...
like the Beatles song.
Or like the Beatles song, I've Got a Feeling Way Down Deep Inside. I don't know.
Larry?
I'm just saying it's a sense you get when you work somewhere that sometimes it feels like I never went home. I've been here for the longest time, and if you don't understand, Bud, it's perfectly fine. It doesn't make you less a man, you know.
Yeah, but... I think that meant you less a man. I think you guys are squirrelier than can be.
Oh, yeah, right. You think I'm squirrely?
And I didn't say you.
Well, okay, let's not take it personal, all right? Just because I got a different opinion from you.
Both you guys do.
All right, then we're both squirrely, and you're fine. Welcome to our show, folks. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, each and every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Vernon Dozier is going to weigh in later on in the program. And we'd like to thank X-Angel as well. Vernon and X-Angel were in touch, and Vernon is going to join us. As you know, the high school football season, among all of the football seasons that are in play, the high school season is in play. But the National Football League rolled out some uniforms this past weekend that are eye-openers. They look to be a design intended to keep the player cool. That's what I am seeing. I don't think there's any kind of a cheeky or prurient intent. I mean, in other words, they're these kind of mesh see-through pants, you know?
I don't like them, man.
I don't either. Why do you have to look? What is the purpose of want to see a guy's... Why?
You don't want to see the guy's ass. Is that what you're trying to say, Bud?
Yeah.
That's not the purpose. If you look, you can see, folks, and if you're looking at Phil TV in HD, I will show you a picture of these. There's a picture of it, and there is a player for the Detroit Lions... Jeff Backus.
Jim Backus was Mr. Magoo.
Yes, Jim Backus was Mr. Magoo. Now, this is Jeff Backus. He's a left tackle of the Detroit Lions, and he's wearing these mesh pants, and you can clearly see his jock strap and the bare leg, and, you know.
Yeah, there's his buttock.
What do you call it, buttock?
His ass, okay? But you can't see that. It's almost like a samurai thing. You know, it's almost
like a diaper.
Like a diaper, yeah. So, anyway, we'll talk with Vernon about that. Our number is 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Bobby Dooley. Steve Dooley is also with us. Oh, by the way, one more thing I wanted to mention to you guys is that we do have, beginning tomorrow, Milwaukee Lions. Just was talking about the Detroit Lions there. The Milwaukee Lions are on our site. Their download is available. They had a game against the D.C. Federal Brigade. We will not give the score because I know that there are people who flip out if I give out the score. We will have on the site tonight the results from today's action in the Hillbilly Football Conference, but the download of the Lions game will be available tomorrow. Bobby Dooley joining us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. What we're going to be talking about this hour is, and now that the campaigns are over with, we're going to talk about health care and the very real argument about health care, which seems to be at the very core, if you will, at the very center of not only the support for President Obama, but also the opposition, or perhaps I should have said it the other way. Not only is it at the very core of the opposition to President Obama, but also at the core of his support. Bobby, how are you this evening?
We're doing good, Phil. Thank you.
And you are a supporter of the president?
Yes, we are.
And a supporter of Obamacare?
Absolutely. Very proudly so.
All right. Give me what you think is well, I think what we would like to hear from you is give us a good thumbnail description of why Obamacare is necessary, is a good thing.
Well, I appreciate that, Phil, because we've been wanting to, we've really wanted a very dry-eyed and a very clear-eyed statement of why Obamacare is, in our opinion, not only is it a preferable, but it is also necessary. And that's what people don't understand about Obamacare. This isn't just a choice of styles. This is not just a choice of what would be a good idea. This has to survive. Otherwise, our country will continue down this ruinous road. Families, especially this middle class that we hear everyone talking so much about, will cease to exist. And the money that we have will continue to be eaten up by these rising health costs. So that pretty soon, Phil, there will be no money left over for anything else.
All right. When we hear people saying that the cost of health care is eating ever increasingly into the budgets of families, what are we talking about?
Well, right now, Phil, we know that every year in the United States, some $3 trillion is spent on health care, on health services, on hospitals, on doctor visits, on equipment, on health equipment and so forth, on in-home care, on inpatient, outpatient. You know, when we talk about health care, we talk about a lot of things, a lot of different things. The Republicans talk about being able to reform this with these fixes that exist only in the fantasies of perhaps some people that actually believe it. I don't even think the people that propose this can believe it's a fix. Tort reform, you know.
Yeah, and being allowed to sell insurance across state lines.
Yes, that. Those things amount, Phil, to tort reform, $150 billion. When you're talking about $3 trillion a year, you're not even approaching the real number. And as far as the insurance, the across state line sale of insurance, again, a drop in the bucket, only a few billion. So if one wonders what is the real reason these people oppose so-called Obamacare or national health care, well, the real reason they oppose it is simply good old-fashioned American, if you want to call it Puritanism. I like to say it's a good old-fashioned American old-fashionedness. It's we're still in covered wagons when it comes to this kind of thing. We are still in that.
Well, I was mentioning on the air, not to interrupt you, I was mentioning on the air that there is that health care as a national plan goes back to Bismarck's years in German government, correct?
Exactly. That is exactly correct. Healthcare is well over 100 years old. Obviously, it has worked so well that it has been adopted across the line, across the board in European countries. There really is no argument against it other than the prejudice that typically conservative Americans have.
Now, what do you mean by prejudice, though? Because, you know, prejudice is one of those charged words.
Well, what I mean is, when you say health, national health care, people don't even want to hear the argument. They automatically assume that there is a one-size-fits-all kind of socialism, that this is going to be British-style or Canadian-style socialism. President Obama has made it very clear that you can hold on to your own insurance if you want. You can go to the doctor that you want. But if you opt for the national plan, there are, you know, obviously there will be requirements, but still in all, even if you opt for the national plan, you have some flexibility. I think it's just America's good old-fashioned, puritanical, covered wagon. We don't want anything that's European.
Bobby, I want to, not to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right, go ahead.
You've been on our program talking about a lot of things, most of it having to do with, you know, the Homeowners Association, where you were the president, a lot of it having to do with social events there. I've never heard you weigh in on a national topic of such political importance as health care with such a serious feel for this and a serious tone. What is it about this that is of particular interest to you?
Phil, I'm very, very, very intent on seeing national health care passed because it's going to mean so much for our country. It'll mean so much for people that can't afford health care, and we can't let a lot of really uninformed people keep us from our national destiny, which is to have national health care, which is to have options, an ability to visit a doctor, an ability to go to the hospital, without any money. If you don't have any money, then that's not going to stop you from...
If someone has absolutely no money under the Obama health care plan, what does it mean?
It means you still are going to be covered by the Obama health care plan. And
but that also means that other taxpayers are picking up the tab, right?
No, not necessarily. It means that the doctors must treat you. It doesn't necessarily mean anything other than even if you don't have any money, you can be treated.
But the taxpayer is going to pick up the cost.
It simply means, Phil, that you will be treated. As far as who's picking up the cost, it is not something we have to talk about right now. I think the most important thing is that you are going to be covered and covered very nicely. Thank you very much.
Hi, Bobby Dooley with the national health care argument as she sees it here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As I mentioned, Ms. Dooley is generally on our program talking about things more close to home, but this is a national story. It's a national need of some kind of some type of solution. She has one. Many people have others when it comes to national health care. Obamacare, is that the way to go? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget Vernon Dozier coming up next hour. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here, 877-876-7445. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us as we talk about the advantages of Obamacare. Big supporters of Obamacare here, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, as well as a great many other Americans. And I think the question of the idea of national health care is not only something you brought up, this thing that it's sort of viewed by a lot of Americans with a prejudiced eye that it's, well, it's just European. But also, it sounds complex.
Well, it may sound complex, Phil. We can figure out, as educated people, we can figure out anything. It's not a difficult thing to figure out. If my husband says, and I agree with Steve to an extent, what is it you say, honey?
That Obamacare is going to cover your health. Enough said.
It's going to cover your health. Enough said. And
well, I mean, enough said, but, there is the question, how does it,
Well, yes, how do we pay for it? We pay for it, Phil, simply by doing this. When you have a lot of people paying into a plan, see, I don't think the discussion of health care...
No, wait, go ahead. When you have a lot of people paying into a plan...
Well, what I was going to say is when you have a lot of people paying into something, it makes the expense for everyone less. And when a lot of people are paying into something and the expense is less, then it is absorbed easier, but there's also more money to go around to pay for what you have, what you want to have, I mean.
Yeah, that's in the math. It's all in the math.
Yeah, Steve said it's all in the math, and, it doesn't take a brain surgeon.
Everyone gets enough said.
Everyone gets paid for enough said. Now, the other thing that I think needs to be stated, Phil, is that health care is very expensive. What's the alternative?
Let's stay on the description of how it gets paid for. That's what people are worried.
Well, I know people are worried because they've been told a lot of fairy tales. They've been told, they say we tell fairy tales. The conservatives tell fairy tales. They don't even know what they're talking about when they say, this and that. I think the reason why a lot of them are against Obamacare is because they can't figure it out and it scares them.
Well, a lot of people can't figure something else out and it scares them, and that's a very good reason not to support something, because if you apply yourself to understanding something and you find that you can't understand it, it may mean that it's something that isn't understandable, right?
Or it naming that, as Steve was saying, and we were talking to Steve's dad today, who worked in the healthcare field for many years, it may mean that people are just not, they don't have the, I don't know, Steve, what did Daddy Chris say?
My dad said it's just not smart enough.
That people are not smart enough to understand it.
Well, that's a kind of a convenient argument against conservatives. They're not smart enough. But that, I don't think, is a correct argument. Obviously, there's plenty of people smart enough to understand it, and to them, the math doesn't make sense.
Well, the math doesn't make sense when you don't believe that you should have to pay any taxes for anything. Of course the math doesn't make sense. If you don't think you should have to pay taxes for anything...
Well, a lot of people don't, you know.
Well, ask them where they'd be if they didn't pay taxes and they wouldn't have roads to drive on, and they... Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. If you don't have roads to drive on, no stop signs or anything that you wouldn't have.
Yeah, that's really stupid. You know, what we're here saying is this. Come on, get over yourselves. Understand that this is there are taxes for everything. And this is, as the Supreme Court just ruled, this is a tax, just like any other tax, so that we can have hospital care and so on and so forth. And if I can understand it, Phil, and I didn't even graduate from college.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mr. Henry.
What are we saying, sir?
Well, that's a very good point. If my wife didn't graduate from college, she understands it.
I don't understand it. If I understand it, I mean, I do understand it. If I understand it, Phil, and I didn't even graduate from college, then what's stopping all of the, you know, what's their problem?
Yeah, what's their problem, you know?
What's the problem of the people that don't understand it? That's my whole point.
All right, 877-876-7445. Now, we had Larry Grover who was on with us last week. We also have General Galen Shaw. We've got all kinds of conservatives that want to line up on this thing and talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley about health care, national health care, and the ramifications. Let's go over here to Austin, though, in Lancaster, California. Austin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. And by the way, hold your thought, Austin. We are talking about Obamacare, not just the idea of health care in general, but specifically the Obamacare that we have been very interested in following here, not only the passage of Obamacare, but as well its eventual, the passage of Obamacare, at least large provisions of it, by way of the Supreme Court. Go ahead, Austin.
Hey, how you doing, Phil? It's good to be with you.
Good, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to ask this lady, first of all, ma'am, my name is Austin Amarca, and I've been on Mr. Henry's program before.
As we have.
And the, I'm sorry?
As we have.
All right, that's great. I've been on as a guest.
As we have. That's what I am right now.
Right, okay, so we've got that settled.
Got that settled. I've been on as a guest, too, so what I'm trying to say is I know you're a guest, but I think a guest, there's a double-edged meaning to guest. On the one side of being a guest, you are treated with respect, but on the other side of being a guest, people overlook and purposefully overlook how if you are making mistakes or acting a little silly, and that's what I think is happening here. I think Mr. Henry's purposely overlooking how silly you're acting.
And how are we acting silly?
By talking about how you when Mr. Henry asked you how you gonna pay for it, and you said by taxes, and then he said, what about people if they don't have no money? You said, well, you know, they'll come, they'll be treated, and that's not important how it's going to get paid for.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, you said something like that, Bobby.
What did I say?
You said that, I think she said that.
Well, you said that when somebody comes in.
No, I'm asking Mr. Henry. I'm not asking you right now.
I know what you said. Go ahead, Bill.
You said that when people show up at the hospital and they have no money, I'd ask you if they have no money to pay, you said they're still going to be treated by the doctor.
That's right.
And when I said, okay, but how does... You know, how does the doctor get paid?
No, you didn't ask me how the doctor got paid. I volunteered the information. I said that...
You said that it doesn't matter.
No, but I did. I was not asked by Mr. Henry. I volunteered the information. All right?
You might have volunteered it, but you said it doesn't matter.
I said at that moment when someone is bleeding to death or they are bleeding out onto a gurney, it doesn't matter, no.
No, but that was the question that I asked was, how does the doctor, well, not, I didn't even ask the question, I guess.
Exactly, that's exactly right.
I'm asking the question right now. How do they get paid?
Phil, you're out of time, aren't you?
Well, hold on. I'll hold you through, sir.
Why?
No, he's going to hold me through because he said so.
I've answered your question.
No, because he said so.
I've answered
because he said so.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Because I said so.
Right, that's right. He said so.
I answered
because he said so.
I answered
because he said so. I'm going to keep
Phil
doing it.
Hendry.
What a baby.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back. We have the Dooleys on the line. I'm going to get to Mr. Amarca. Are you there, sir? Mr. Amarca?
Yes, sir, yeah.
We'll get to you in just a second here. Our number, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. And as always, very, very happy to have you guys who are watching us on Phil TV in HD. If you get a backstage pass, you have, my goodness, you have access to all of our archived material. You have access to 24/7. You have access to all of the shows that we've done for over 10 years. And I got to tell you, I think that's a pretty decent little package to offer. You also get the archive of our video cast going back 5 days. You get a year's worth of archives of our Saturday night show. And when I finally get with the guys, I think we're going to have them. I talked to Alex and those guys. We're going to definitely get the Daily Show archive up bigger, you know.
Well, why don't you do that?
Yeah, people will ask about it.
Well, right now, man, you know, we have not handled these video archives very well. But nonetheless, like I said, where's the archive of the original? Where's the archive of the original Christmas Carol that I did, you know?
Yeah.
It's gone.
What?
Yeah. I mean, when my, you know, I love my crew, but when they first took over, when we did the site redesign, they didn't know what the hell was going on. So let's get to one of our guests right here now. Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to join us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Jay, you with us?
Hi, Phil. Jay Santos. Hold on for just a minute, Phil.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers, or the highway patrol. These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Wait, hold on, will you?
Hold on, Phil. Hold on. Stop. Phil.
What? Hold on.
I wanted to. Hold on. Can you stop for a minute, Phil?
All right, hold on. What's the problem?
I want to ask Phil. I want to ask you a question, Mr. Henry, if it's all right. I wanted to ask you if there. I heard some hammerhead come on go and talk about it.
I'm sorry?
I said I heard some hammerhead come on. Some guy knows, you know, some guy's brain had a brain injury, and he stepped all over top of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
You mean someone on the phone?
I asked Mr. Henry if I want to be back on. Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. What's your name? What is your name, sir? My name's Jay Santa, sir. I'm with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Well, my name is Austin Amarca, sir. Well, sir, you came on, and you stepped all over a theme song that we on the Citizens Auxiliary Police use when we come on a program. All right, sir, I understand that, but I don't like being called a hammerhead. And
all right, I don't honestly believe that he thought that you... I don't think it was intended personally. I think Jay was just...
Well, the problem is, Phil, we utilize that music, and we utilize, and it's a signature song, although, as you know, Phil, it's probably not used no more. Or anymore, I should say, it's not used anymore on television. At one time, it was a signature song that was used for the Highway Patrol, which was a television show. Now, that's fine and good, and all well and dandy, and everything's just great about that, but we now use it. When we use that and we come on a program, and we come on a program like yours, and we are asked to comment... no, hammerhead. I don't appreciate being called a hammerhead. Okay, you know,
Mr. Henry, can I just say something?
Go ahead, Bobby.
My husband and I came on this program to talk with you about the healthcare problem. and I have been preempted, you know.
Sorry, Mr. Ernie, I agree with this lady. I wanted to talk to her, and so far I've been called a hammerhead, you know, and this. I apologize, sir.
What's that?
I do apologize, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was unnecessary, but I don't think it was meant to you personally.
No, I thought it was, Mr. Marka, is it? I thought it was a commercial or a recording or something like that.
All right, sir.
I apologize, sir. And so I will begin to... I'll just ask you to play that again, Mr. Henry.
I'm sorry. We are here. We were invited on as guests.
Yeah, my wife came on as guest, but...
I'm a guest as well, ma'am, and I'm in the middle of Citizens Auxiliary Police, and tonight we're having our dragnet. This is dragnet night when we do a sweep, and we do a full sweep and spread, and that's what we're trying to do tonight.
I don't know what that is.
We're doing a...
Jay, whatever you're doing tonight, that's fine. You know, we're talking about health care.
That's exactly correct. We're doing a sweep and spread on health care.
What does that mean?
Means it. Mr. Henry's familiar with it. He knows that there's certain kinds of physical, I guess you call them physical symptoms, which indicate certain physical conditions, which may or may not warrant a doctor that endanger the safety of people at this time of year. And, you know, very much has something to do with health care, you know.
All right. I tell you what, let me break the tie here, because Mr. Remarker, we want to talk to you. We do want Ms. Dooley to be able to finish. And we do want Jay to come on and comment. Let's go ahead and we'll play your theme music. I'm not familiar with people coming on radio shows and playing theme music.
Well, you used to do it for us, Mr. Henry.
I did it for you until it became a distraction for a lot of my listeners. And there were other people that would say that... what are you doing, bud?
Yeah, play it. We're wasting time.
Well, I didn't finish talking, okay?
Mr. Henry... If you talk it, now we're going to try to get into a hammerhead deal.
All right, well, just be quiet. Here's your music.
All right. Tell me to be quiet.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken...
Is this the guy's same music?
...organization yeah.
Please,
swings into
please
action.
Please be quiet. Please shut
it may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers...
Or the citizens auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage...
Was that what he wanted to do?
...our state laws.
God, where's this lady? Don't you have a husband there, sir?
Hey, I'm her husband.
Yeah, tell it to shut up.
Hey.
What's the problem now?
I was just about ready to go into the interview with you. Everything was good. And I heard another hammerhead, I don't know. You know.
Not about my wife?
Did you call me a hammerhead? Is that what you did?
No, I didn't call. I don't know who I'm calling. And I heard a voice.
What, are people not allowed to talk during that thing?
I would think, Mr. Henry, that it would be standard operating procedure you understand. You know,
I don't even understand what you're talking about. It sounds to me as if you suffered some injury to your jaw.
What's that mean?
Because you're... I can't describe it. I really can't.
Yeah. That's what sounds like to us.
What sounds like to you?
Talking about the way you speak, sir. You speak in a very, very unusual way. It's very difficult to understand.
Sir, I come from western Pennsylvania to a distinctly Pittsburgh accent, although I'm originally from the Maryland area, Baltimore area. And
that's it. You have a Baltimore accent. You always talk about a Pennsylvania accent.
All right, it's a Baltimore accent, but there's also it's a shared trait with western Pennsylvania, the Allegheny area. You know, Gresham Valley.
Well, I don't know. It's very discomforting to listen to.
Discomforting? Well, there's a 25-cent word right there. I don't think that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, I'm not that impressed, and what I'm trying to say is I want to be able to finish what I'm saying about Obamacare without being called a hammerhead. I've had hammer toes. Do you know what hammer toes are?
I'm sorry, ma'am.
That's a good one, buddy.
What's that?
Do you know what hammer toes are?
I do not.
Hammer toes are caused from high heels that are very uncomfortable, and they create a disfiguring of the toes. It's very ugly. It's almost nausea-inducing for a man to see your feet for the first time after you've jammed them into high heels. But do you know something? I would not give up my high heels any more than I would give up, like, our annual trip to Mexico. I would never, ever give that up.
I thought you were going to say, like, your kids or something, but...
I'd say your kid or something.
Yes, or my kid.
But you got three of them.
Right, all three of them, right.
Yeah, all three of them.
All right, so great. So do you want to finish up on health care, and then, Jay, you can tell us...
Wait, hold on. Whoa there, sunshine. I was going to come on here. Yo, look it, buddy, you got your theme music played. Now get in line.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I do too, Jay.
Oh, that's dirty pool. I come on your program.
You got your theme music played. Now get in line. I think Mr. Remark is right, and Mr. Dooley, I agree with him.
Okay. All right. That's a chip.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Whoa! What about me? I got all kinds of questions. You said you was going to hold me over.
Hold you over what, his knee?
That's a good one, Bobby. Hold you over his knee.
All right, Steve. Is that what's going to happen here?
Ms. Dooley,
go ahead, lady.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Austin.
Yeah, it's not worth it to me. Go ahead.
Thank you. Obamacare will save our country $3 trillion a year. Think about it, Mr. and Mrs. America. Do you think it's worth it to finally get a handle on these out-of-control health care costs? Other countries have been able to get a handle on them, and so we can, too. I know there's a lot more to say, but I wanted to say that, and I also want to say one more thing. I want to say that it'll save us money, and what else?
And that just, and that's all.
It'll save us money, and that's it, yeah.
I'd like to say something to Ms. Dooley. Ms. Dooley, the European Union, the European Economic Community, right now is dealing with the bankruptcy of, or the potential bankruptcy of a number of its member states. These are all countries that have national health care. Now, what happened to them? What happened to them,
That's a damn good point.
Well,
I can explain what's happened to them. They have mismanaged their... first of all, they invested in American products and things like that, and exporting, okay? And the market for their exports dried up. It didn't have anything to do with health care. It's ridiculous. Those countries are tied intimately into the world economy. They're tied intimately into the American economy. Do you know how lucky we are that people depend upon our economy? So if we get our economy under control with health care, we don't have to worry about the stuff what they do.
But that doesn't make any sense, I want to jump in here, ma'am. This is Jay Sanderson, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
So I guess.
All right, well... Man, it just so happens that I'm going to be out there, and we're doing a spreading check, and...
Tell us, Brad, you're doing spreading, yeah.
What, Steve?
What's it called?
It's called a spreading check.
I thought it was called something else.
Well, it probably was, but I forgot, so I just made that up. But a spreading check is this. We are checking people to make sure that they are physically, as far as our understanding goes, we are checking people to make sure they are physically capable of operating a motor vehicle tonight. We have an awful lot of women out there who suffer from a condition that causes a certain kind of itching or rash, for instance, elderly women. And I'm not going to do what we did do a number of years ago that did get us in a lot of trouble. We're not going to be doing any invasive check. We're not going to do any invasive search. But if I see any female that is looking to, I'm going to have to say it.
Scratching her crotch?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to have to at least ask that we do a flare drop on that one car. We'll just drop a flare, have them pull over.
Hey, flare drop.
That when we drop a flare, that means you, over, you. Here's a flare. See the flare? You, here. I point at the driver, and I point to any area next to the road. They'll get it. Don't worry.
Okay, a flare drop, individual flare drops, Mr. Santos, and they're doing some kind of a safety check on physical conditions that may affect how people drive. All of this tied into national health care. Our country can't afford it, according to Bobby and Steve Dooley. We're just too, covered wagon to know what's good for us. 877-876-7445. What happened to Mr. Remarka?
He might still want to be on there.
That poor man has been waiting patiently. I haven't heard a thing from him. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
wanted to do, and that's what I'm talking about.
All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley with us. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us. We also have on the line Vernon Dozier. We have Austin Amarca. Mr. Amarca, you had a couple of comments.
Yes, sir. I wanted to say, first of all, that the lady is talking about the Obamacare, and I don't think she understands I don't think she understands exactly how that works, because what I've been told and what a lot of people are saying. I'm sorry, Phil.
Yeah, could you turn that off, please?
Yeah, what a lot of people are saying is sympathy.
What, do we got a problem with that?
Sorry, just get it.
Hold on for just a second here, Mr. Amarca. 877-876-7445. I don't know why that fired like that. Kimberly, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, yes.
Hi.
I actually work in a hospital, and I'm actually on a trauma team. So basically the way it works is if you're in a horrible accident, you're a trauma, you come into the emergency room, we treat you, no questions asked. 90% of the time, we don't even have the name of a patient. You are a trauma and a number.
Exactly. That's what Obamacare will do.
That is not what Obamacare is going to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine who is actually
mm-hmm.
a surgeon in England.
Mm-hmm.
She's a renal
mm-hmm.
surgeon
mm-hmm.
in England.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into renal failure
mm-hmm.
in England,
mm-hmm.
you're cut off for
mm-hmm.
dialysis. Stop that.
Mm-hmm.
You're being rude.
Excuse me. What does England have to do with it?
Obamacare is a carbon copy of the health care
no.
that they have in England.
No, it is not a carbon copy.
You read it?
You work in a hospital, and you're that misinformed. No, it is not. And you know something? I'll meet you anywhere and debate this in front of your very best friends, if you'd like. So that they'll all become fans of Obamacare, and they'll realize how misinformed you are. It has nothing to do with the English model.
Can I finish my statement real quick?
You can, but you're... Okay, she's wrong about...
Let the lady finish.
I know, I just wanted to say, she's wrong about the first thing that she said. So the whole first half of what she said is wrong.
Would you please let her finish, Ms. Dooley, and not judge her argument until she's done? Go on, ma'am.
Okay. I'm sorry. So part of Obamacare is that they are going
mm-hmm.
to set limitations on care.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as it stands,
mm-hmm.
if you're
mm-hmm.
89 years old and you need an open heart surgery,
mm-hmm.
you can get that
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
Under Obamacare, you will not be able
mm-hmm.
to get that. You will
That's
not,
not
if
true.
You need open
when,
heart
when
surgery,
did you,
you will not
when did
get
you
it.
People, when did you people start lying to defend your position? When did that start? Is that recent or all the way from the beginning? Because that's a lie. That's a lie. And I can prove that, too. You are very you're not prepared for this debate.
I'm very
you're
prepared
just
for this debate.
No, you're not. You don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong.
Because
I don't know if you're lying or just misinformed.
What if you
no,
have, how have
no,
you
I know exactly how it works, and you don't.
Because
you don't even
you
know what
healthcare
is.
Because you work
no,
in a hospital,
you work,
and you've been told what the rules are going to be?
And you've been told what the rules are going to be?
Yes, I have. I work in a hospital.
Uh-huh.
We have
You
been
work in a hospital, and they have national health care in a hospital, and they have Obamacare in your hospital.
We're working toward that, yes. Because
oh,
we're
you're
taking
working
on the
toward case. That, yes. You're working toward that, yeah.
Yes,
you
because
know
we're about to
you
take
know, I
on
would
a
love,
hospital.
I would love to meet you in front of all of your best friends, kick your ass in a debate, have all your friends come to my house for drinks, and they won't even hang out with you anymore.
Oh, mm-hmm. will you grow up,
well,
please.
That is the most
you know?
Sure
well,
thing I've ever heard.
Well, you know something?
And
that's what's going to happen after I just...
I mean, my wife's right.
No, well, she may be right or wrong, but to say what she just said to this lady...
I'm going to... Yeah, you know, so that was pretty stupid not to be... this lady, so what do you think you're going to do?
I think she thinks she's really smart in front of all of her friends, and when I get done making her look stupid, she won't have any.
So, Bobby, what is the point of this debate, then? To make someone look stupid, or to educate people, maybe, to which one side or the other?
Just because people don't agree with you, Miss Bobby, does not mean that we are
uh-huh.
uneducated. It means that we have a
well,
little bit better social grace than you, maybe. Well, because I can listen to you. I can listen to you without being rude.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think so, because you said, quit doing that, remember?
Oh, wait a minute. Where are we going now, okay? You know.
Wait a minute, Mr. Renner. My wife's got a good point.
Yeah, remember when I was going, and you went, oh, stop? All I was doing was understanding you.
Okay, Kimberly, thank you very much.
Like a 5-year-old. And I'm sorry, but yes, Obamacare is going to put serious limitations on what type of health care is provided to people.
I think you have a problem with a black president.
Oh, God. She said you have a problem. Never mind. Hold on, or thank you very much, man. We got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What don't you think?
No, I don't think.
Don't yell at my wife. Don't yell at my wife.
Phil Hendry.
It's all right, Steve.
Welcome back. Here it is, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Coming up later on tonight, or not later on tonight, in just a few minutes, we have with us Vernon Dozier to talk something interesting in the world of sports this week, and he's going to be talking about. It has to do with football, but not with the game. It has to do with the uniforms. Nike has signed a new deal with the National Football League. Reebok used to have the equipment deal with the NFL. Now Nike does. And as I mentioned, we put a picture of it up here on Phil TV and HD. There it is again. These are a kind of a sheer pants, football trousers. Now, you know football pants, they're already skin tight like they spray those things on, you know.
Yeah, man, you don't like see a guy's butt crack in them already.
Right, well, I don't know about that, but now they're see-through. Now, I believe, and they have a picture here of Jeff Backus, who's an offensive lineman for the Detroit Tigers, or Detroit Lions, rather.
What about the Milwaukee Lion?
This is the Detroit Lions, not the Milwaukee Lions, the Detroit Lions, okay? And this guy, you can see right through his pants, except for the fact that he's wearing a jock strap and what looks like a sumo wrestler type of underwear or something, right?
Yeah, kind of like a sumo wrestler, like a diaper, like you were saying.
Yeah, like a sumo diaper.
Like a sumo diaper. Anyway, this reminded me of the old mesh jerseys. I was talking about them one night on the show. They used to wear mesh jerseys that were mesh and therefore allowed the circulation of air and therefore, I'm assuming, kept the players, the professional players, cooler. I don't. I in high school, I don't ever remember them doing that, and we had them very, very late, 1970. But 1969, 1970, but I don't recall them ever doing anything other than putting a big imprint on my face after tackling a guy, not with my arms, not with my shoulder, but with my face.
Yeah, man, I left it like a tattoo.
Yeah, it did. It tattooed the mesh on my face. All right, Vernon Dozier joining us here from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California, to talk about this uniform. Did you see this, Vernon?
I saw a little bit of the picture you showed me, Phil, but I have seen the uniform because these were shown to us at the coaches' clinic over the summer. We went to a clinic at Occidental College, and at that time we saw Nike had a representative out there.
Were they asking you to purchase these for the schools?
Well, Nike was simply saying, here is a new line of uniform that we've got, professional. I think they are. I don't think they're even offering it at the high school level. And I'm sure I would have an argument with parents about these, but at the time I was thinking I'd have an argument with the parents about these, but I also, in looking at them, I recognized that these are pants that can cool a player off. Football is, especially early in the season when you're still playing in some areas in the summer conditions. I can recall playing games in September where the temperature's up over 100 degrees.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I talked to the Nike representative, and we said that we would get back to them, I think, in late July, just before we had the kids come in for the beginning of our training camp. We purchased sized pants, these Nike pants, these mesh pants.
Yeah. All right, so you did?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the kids are wearing these now?
We wore them for our last game against Arrington, and we're going to wear them again this week for Pauly. We've had a good response from the players. We have had a good react. Our team hasn't affected our play. We've won our first two games, so I think that we're going to be just fine.
And how about the parents?
Well, parents are people are going to have to just, you know, you deal with parents as best way you can. You talk to them and you tell them this is for the good of the kids.
So I want to ask you something. You've got underage guys.
Now, hold on for a minute, Phil. When you say underage, you are intimating that there is something inappropriate about these pants.
And no, I don't mean to say that at all, Coach. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Because there is nothing inappropriate about these pants at all.
I understand. And I understand that the intent is to... Well, what is it for to keep the player cool?
Absolutely. I mean, when you're talking about being in the early season conditions, these pants are they're a see-through. So, yes, you can see through the pants, and you're able to see bare leg, and you're able to see bare calf. You're also able to see part of the support, the athletic supporter, as you call it, the jock strap. And you can see part of the player's posterior. But the intent of these pants is not to give people some kind of a prurient look. The intent of these pants is to keep the player as cool as possible.
All right, when you say part of the posterior, what I'm looking at here on this slide is a professional player, and there's like a sumo kind of covering to the buttocks, correct?
That's an optional, I think that is an optional feature. The point of the pants is to keep the player cool. If you use that, what you call a sumo, or they call that a kind of a crotch covering, you're talking about something that is not going to do the job that you intended the pants to do, which is to keep the player cool. So we didn't opt for that. And
so with the pants that you bought for your players, you can see the player's buttocks?
Well, when you say you can see the player's buttocks, I'm not sure I understand exactly what you mean.
Well, what I mean is this. What I'm looking at here, Jeff Backus has that sumo strap, as you call it.
Yeah, no, we don't have those.
All right, so you're looking at the bare buttocks of the player.
No, you're not looking at the bare buttocks. You've got a sheer pant on. You're wearing a sheer pant. If I could compare it to something, women have what they call sheer, I don't know what they call it, a sheer panty or something like that. So the...
Women have pantyhose that are worn under pants or worn under dresses. A woman never wears pantyhose out, you know, by itself.
Well, we're not talking about women here, Mr. Henry. We're talking about young athletes. You know.
All right, well, that may be fine, but if a woman puts on a pair of pantyhose with no panties, you can see through that, and that's what I'm looking at here. Well, that's what I imagine I'm looking at. I'm looking at this player here in the NFL with that sumo strap, as you call it, but you bought pants that doesn't have that.
We bought pants that don't have that, not doesn't have that, but that's all right. Does this conversation make you nervous? Because
no, it doesn't make me nervous. I misspoke.
Well, you said, did you bought pants that does have that, is what you said.
No, I did not. I said, did you buy pants that doesn't have that?
Yeah, you said...
All right, so I misspoke, sir. What is the significance of that?
Well, the significance is that you're getting a little nervous talking about something that I guess this has some sort of sexual content.
No, hold on for a minute. Let me explain something, okay?
Well, I mean, you're the one that brought this up.
Well, you're the guy that bought them. You're the guy that bought them and put them on your players.
And what does that mean, sir?
It means the following thing. It means the following thing. While you're looking out for the health and the comfort of your players while they're playing in hot weather, I wondered what the parents' reaction was to their players wearing these sheer football pants that you can see right through, so you're looking right at the kid's ass, if I may be so bold, as well as his jock strap and whatever else is under there.
Well, you know, if you're trying to intimate, Mr. Henry, that I'm getting some sort of a prurient thrill out of this, you owe me an apology.
No, I'm not. I didn't say that. I asked you.
All right, then what are you saying?
I'm asking, what do the parents think about it?
The parents think the following. think.
That's all I'm asking.
All right, and I'm going to answer. The parents think that I'm the coach, and whatever they need to say and whatever they need to deal with and whatever they need to get through and whatever they need to feel, they have to come through me, see?
And that's fine. I understand that, but what are they saying to you?
What are they saying to me about what?
About the pants.
Well, they're saying to me a lot of things. They're saying to me a lot of things. There's some of them.
Do they like it? Do they not?
Well, some of them do. Some of them understand. And some of them are going to give their opinion. And there's a lot of different opinions. And I simply say to them what I say to all of our parents at the beginning of the school year, as we begin our football season, that I am the coach of the team. I said, and from this point forward, you are a spectator in the stands. So once your son crosses through into that locker room, he is now a football player for Coach Vernon Dozier, and you are someone that buys a ticket. And when I played football, Phil, as much as we appreciated the people that buy the tickets.
Okay, so you just said the people that buy the tickets.
All right, I misspoke like you misspoke, okay? So there, score one for you.
You get one.
You know, God. You know.
Well, you know, you made a big deal.
All right, you got one. God, I mean, I thought we were having an adult conversation here. But
we are having an adult conversation. If you're making a big deal about me saying you don't or you does, or...
What?
What I said, whatever I said.
All right, so I misspoke.
Okay.
Anyway, what I used to say as a player, what we all did, when you are playing football, we appreciate the people in the stands that buy the tickets, but all they are to us are in many ways just a, I don't know if you've ever seen these cardboard cutouts. It's like a cardboard cutout is sitting up there. I know they're cheering and they're real people, and we understand that. But when I looked up into the stands when I was a player, all I saw were just cardboard faces made of cardboard, made of a one-dimensional. So that's not to devalue people. It's simply to say, I'm the player. I'm why. I'm why the stadium was built. I'm why you're here. I'm why the TV cameras are here. I'm why the advertisers are here. I'm why all of that took place. Me. Okay. Now that I'm a coach, same difference. Only now I'm a coach.
So in other words, they have nothing to say about their sons running around in there in pants that look like pantyhose.
They don't look like pantyhose. Boy, you do anything to mess it up, won't you?
Well, I know they don't look like pantyhose, but they're as sheer as pantyhose.
Yes, they have something to say about it, and they said it. They said it, I heard it, and their kid is still wearing the pants, you know. And in our school, I like to say the kids wear the pants in this family, you know.
All right, we'll be right back here. Vernon Dozier with us from Belmar Academy on why he has purchased for his team these sheer football pants that you can see right through. The football players in the NFL, the professionals, wear what we have taken to call a kind of a sumo diaper or a sumo thong that covers up the ass a little bit, but not so with some of the players. 877-876-PHIL's world famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you, Gary. Vernon Dozier is back with us, 877-876-7445. So, Vernon, these football pants that you wear, that...
I don't wear the pants.
No, you don't wear the pants, but you are obviously endorsing these pants, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's correct.
All I'm trying to find out now is the answer to the question that I asked you, which is, how do the parents feel about that?
Well, I answered your question.
Well, I don't think you did.
Yes, I did, sir. Yes, I did. I said to you...
How did you answer my question? I said, how do the parents feel about these pants? You said, well, you know, some have this opinion, some have that opinion, but I'm the guy.
Well, I am the guy. You see, one of the things that we teach our players, Phil, is that they are the football player. That means they're on the field. And they're the ones that are playing the game, and they're the ones that are risking the injury. And to that extent... Because they're the ones that are on the field and they're playing the game and they're risking the injury, they are the ones, Phil, that ultimately are going to be the reason why people come out to watch the game. So when I say that they're the ones that will come out and watch the game, that means they are the most important thing on that field. So I don't understand
it. Well, yeah, but that's not answering my question. Why is it the parents?
The parents are going to have their comments, but I'm trying to get the parents trained the same way that I train my players into understanding that they're not, I don't know how to say this because I thought I'd made it very clear,
that the parents are not that important?
No, it isn't that the parents are not that important. It's that they are beginning to lessen in importance as the boy gets older and becomes more of a professional, a better football player, and becomes more and more the focus of the fans, the fans' interest. The parents become less and less, not important, but they just become less of a presence, you see. So
less of a presence.
Yeah, less of a presence. And so...
less of a parent?
No, not less of a parent.
Well, what do you mean by less of a... If the kid is out there on the field, how is he feeling more and more important when you're telling him what to wear?
I'm the coach. That's why. I'm the guy that's going to make him more important. I'm the one that helps him develop into something that's more important. I'm the guy that begins to make him into the focus of the fans. Nobody is in the stands looking at... I'm trying to explain this the best way I know how, Phil.
Well, what you're telling me is basically this, that the parents don't matter.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. You said that the parents and their opinion of what the kid wears, that doesn't matter. And that the players are now the focus, the players are now the most important thing that there is, and that this is simply something that is they're going to have to accept, right?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, it is. It's something they got to accept. It's something that they have to. It's something that they have to become, and that is less important. And I'll give you an example, Phil. I had a parent come to me and say, is my son going to wear those pants? So I had one of the people didn't like the pants that you can see through. And I said, yeah, he's going to wear the pants. And they said, I don't think it's appropriate. And I said, okay. And they said, well, I don't think I want him in those pants. And I said, well, I'm certainly not going to take those pants off of him. Otherwise, I made a joke about it. And then she said this. She said, well, I think I'm going to pull him off the team. Now, the young man she was talking about, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I won't say who, but the young man she was talking about is a wide receiver, is probably one of the top high school wide receivers in our state, and is a big-time college project. And
I'm sure people can start to guess who he is.
No, some people at our school, but I'm not going to say it on the nationwide live,
nationwide radio. Okay, all right.
All right, so I said... I said, well, no, you're not. And that's when she said, I'm the mother of this boy. And I said, I understand you're the mother of that boy, but you got to understand something. He is a top college prospect. You take him off of this team. I said, you will destroy everything that he'll ever be as a human being. And she said, well, I don't want him in those pants. And I said, believe me, I told you, I convinced her.
What do you mean, believe you?
I convinced her not to take the kid off the team.
And well, what did you say?
Well, the kid's one of the top college prospects in the country.
So she was convinced to let her kid stay on the team wearing the see-through pants?
Yes, she was.
That's what you told her?
Phil, guess what? None of your business.
Okay, so, Vernon, what we got here is you telling me none of my business, and that's the end of that, right?
Well, I can't...
See, you're telling me that you got these kids wearing a certain kind of equipment, and some of the parents object, and you just told one mother that she wasn't even going to pull her kid off the team.
I said to her some things that would convince her to keep the kid on the team.
And what were those? That's what I'm asking you.
I can't say. I'm sorry.
Well, there are parents listening right now that are not going to buy that.
Well, Phil, I'm not trying to... What do you mean they're not going to buy that? I'm dealing with one parent here. Do I have to explain to all of them?
All I'm telling you is that there are some parents who are not going to buy that and who are not going to accept that is the way that you deal with parents.
Well, look, all I'm telling you is the following thing. That when she said she was going to pull her son off of our team because of these pants, I said to her, he's one of the top...
Yeah, I know what you said. And you said that that convinced her to keep the kid on the team.
No, I didn't say that. I said the rest of what I said to her is none of your business.
Well, that sounds very suspect, and you know, in a forum like this, people want to hear the story. They want to know the why, and they want to know the when, and they want to know the where, and they want to know it now.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
You know what it means. What did you say to that woman to convince her not to take the kid off the team?
Not to keep the kid. See what you're doing? Yeah.
Let's forget about how well you and I are speaking, because you've made your fair share of mistakes. You convinced that woman not to take her son off the team. How?
I told you, Phil, that it's none of your business. And
if I was able to contact that woman,
I don't think that you would want to.
Why?
Because I don't think she's going to want to tell you. You know, you're asking me a lot of questions here, and it's none of your business.
None of my business, huh?
That's right. Yeah. And Phil, to the extent that you're trying to make this sound like something, you know, like I you know, it's just none of your business.
Vernon, I know you to be a very successful high school coach. I know you to be a guy that has done a great deal with the student athletes that you've had.
All right, then why don't you just butt out?
Because we're talking about these uniforms that you purchased for these kids.
I wanted to talk about how good they were, and you want to talk to me about one pain in the ass parent. And I don't think that that's an even trade-off. I just don't.
All right, we're going to be back. Don't worry about it. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, don't worry about it. Oh, okay.
That's right. Don't worry about it. 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Back right after this.
Phil Hendry.
Seven seven eight seven six Phil, and on the line with me here is Vernon Dozier. And Vernon, we do have the Monsignor there from Belmar Academy. Father James McQuarters is going to join us.
Okay.
Is that all right with you?
Yeah. Why would there be anything wrong with that?
Father McQuarters.
Phil, how are you? And Coach Dozier, how are you doing?
Hey, brother, you got to tell Mr. Hendry here to lighten up because he's...
Well, he called me at you know, just a few minutes ago, and we're talking about the Nike deal that the school's done.
Yeah, I think if you know Phil as well as I do, and Phil, I know you to be a fair guy, but...
Well, he's giving you a hard time, huh?
There's a little bit of a hard time, Father, on these uniforms.
Well, no, I wasn't asking about the uniforms, Father McQuarters. I was asking about the parents.
So what you did is you pulled rank.
Oh, he pulled rank on you, didn't he?
He pulled rank, Father, and he called you up. And
well, I mean, I'm calling up he's not the Father McQuarters. You're not the principal there. I want people to know that.
No, Phil, I'm not the principal. I'm the spiritual pastor of the community. Belmar and St. Agatha is the parish of the community, and Belmar Academy, of course, is associated with our parish.
Yeah. Well, Father McQuarters is the Monsignor, but he's not the principal of our school.
No, I know that. I'm just asking from a standpoint. Have you talked to parents about this?
About the Nike uniforms at the football game, the poly game I did, Vernon. And
what did they say?
Oh, there's a lot of them. But you know that when it comes to the matters of the football and athletic events and so forth, I'm going to have your back on that, you know.
Appreciate that very much.
Well, what does that mean, you've got his back?
Well, it means that most of these decisions I leave to the athletic department, you know. What am I going to say? What can I possibly say?
Well, if you have a parent, do you mind me asking you what they've said?
We've had parents. This was at the poly game, and I was on the sideline.
And again, not all the parents are allowed on the sideline. I just want to tell Miss Father McQuarters, not all the parents are allowed on the sideline. I won't let. Probably about 50% of all the parents I won't even allow anywhere near my bench because they, for one reason or another, they have run afoul of my personal protocols.
50%?
Yes, they've approached the coach and asked about why my son isn't playing and so forth. So.
That is a no-no. That is a big no-no.
We call it the cardinal rule, a cardinal sin number one.
That's a big no-no.
The big no-no is what? That the parents ask why their son isn't playing?
Exactly. All I need to hear is from one parent saying, how come my son isn't playing? And that's the end of that. That they get banned.
So I was speaking to two of the parents that were not banned, but they're not allowed near the bench. Because they had, they're asking about a letter of intent, right?
Well, I don't let them near the bench. I do let them on the field. Some parents I allow on the field, but I won't let them near the bench. And those are the ones that have asked me, do you think my son can get into USC? Do you think my son can get into Notre Dame?
Yeah.
So you've got two sets of parents. One set, they don't even get on the field if they've asked why my son isn't playing.
That is correct, yes, sir.
And the other set can get on the field, but they can't go near you.
They can't come near me if they've asked, do you think my son can get into USC or Notre Dame? Or a college? Do you think my son's a college prospect?
Right. So those are the ones I was speaking with. And it was Candy, and it was Bill Eccleston and his wife, Candace. And I also spoke with...
You talked to them?
Yes, I did. And I also spoke with Wayne Pickman. And he just lost his wife recently, and I wanted to speak with him. He's terribly distraught.
It's too bad. He lost his wife, Phil, but I still won't let him come anywhere near me. Because he...
Because the band had asked you about his son's prospects?
That is correct, yes. And I'm sorry he lost his wife to a bout of cancer.
Yeah, so he came and asked me about the pants, and I said to him, that's the coach's decision.
Thank you, Father.
And he said, well, Father, what do you think of those pants? I said, it's not my decision, it's the coach's decision. And he said, I don't think it's appropriate, Father. And I said, I could agree with you, maybe, or maybe I don't agree with you. It doesn't matter what I say.
That's a good answer, because it doesn't matter what you think. You know,
I understand that, yes.
See, as I've said to the father, and I've said to Father Staley, who also approached me, I said, go ahead and give me your opinion, but your opinion matters even less than a parent's opinion.
And we understand that as the spiritual shepherds of the church, Phil, as the spiritual shepherds of the high school.
Wait. You know, there's an awful lot being said here.
We just finished our point here, Phil.
Well, no, wait. There's an awful lot being said here that sounds a little crazy. You're saying, number one, that the father's opinion means even less.
That's right. It means even less than the parent's opinion.
And we understand that. So that when Wayne Pittman came to me and he said, well, now, Phil, I have to tell you that... he didn't say that. He said, Father James, I have to tell you that I don't approve of my son wearing the pants where you can see right up his butt. And he said, and I know you're a Catholic priest, but I said, you know something, just because I'm a priest doesn't mean that I get my kicks like that.
Absolutely.
And he said, I didn't mean any disrespect, Father. Well, you sure gave some, didn't you? And he said, who came to your home?
Now, Father,
hold on, I want to finish this. I said to him, who came to your home when your wife was dying of cancer?
All right, Father.
Oh, Phil, have some respect now.
I apologize.
I said to Mr. Pittman, who came to your home when your wife was dying of the cancer? And I came and I held your hand, didn't I? And I came and I said prayers. I said the rosary with you over your wife, didn't I? And you come to the football game and you say to me the things you said. I said, you get out of here now. Go on, get out of here. I chased him off the field.
You chased this man who'd lost his wife.
That's exactly what I did.
Comes around there with his filthy mind.
That's exactly right, Coach. He comes around there with a filthy, stinking mind like his. And I said, Wayne, the way you're speaking to me, I'm glad your wife died.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Yes, I did, because I'm a priest and I can say that.
Sometimes you have to speak the truth. You have to speak God's truth, Bill.
What do you mean you're a priest and you can say? What a cruel thing to say.
Cruel thing to say. This man said to me, hey, Father, I don't want my son wearing the pants that he's wearing. You can see the young man's buttocks. I said, it's the coach's decision. And he looked at me, he gave me a look like, oh, yeah, I bet. You know, I knew what he was saying.
You took the look to mean something insulting to you, and you turn around and say, oh, I'm glad your wife died.
I told that man that I came to his home and I said the prayers of the Virgin Mary, of the Rosary, and St. Anne, and St. Agatha. And we did a novitiate prayer, and we did the Day of Remembrance. And I brought a bunch of holy cards with me, holy water, everything. And this guy says to me, I bet you get your... He didn't say that.
I did. That's what he meant, though, Father.
I know that.
So, in other words, you guys are taking your warrant, if you will, for acting the way that you will because you believe the parents have been unfair to you. In your case, Father, they might have said something you're not really sure, but the guy gave you a look about you being a pervert or something. You, Vernon, you take your warrant from the fact that the parents, you know, insulted you or they're asking questions about whether my boy is going to play on the college level. How come my son isn't playing? You guys take all of this stuff and you turn it into a warrant to keep those parents away from you and to keep those parents in line.
I'd like to know what you mean by warrant.
I don't think I'm Wayne Earp or...
Is that Wayne Earp?
Wyatt Earp?
Yeah, Wyatt. I don't think I'm Wyatt Earp.
I didn't say that.
But what does this mean, warrant?
It's a word that means essentially a right or a special right, a warrant. When you have a warrant to arrest somebody.
I don't look at it as a right to arrest someone. I look at it as my responsibility.
That's exactly right, Father.
I look at it as my responsibility. And I think if you were any kind of a man, Phil Henry, you'd see this as your responsibility.
Father, I am not trying to say anything other than the following. A parent's duty and the parent's responsibility is their child.
I agree.
All right, if you agree, then you would also agree with me that parent has the right to ask you, what do you think of those pants? And if they want to, they can take their son off the team.
Hold on for just a minute.
Well, if he's talking about the Robinson, you're talking about the Robinson boy?
I didn't tell him the name of the kid, Father.
Oh, the Robinson boy. So we're getting closer.
You gotta shut your mouth.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Coach Dozier, don't tell me to shut up.
Shut your mouth when you're talking about that kid.
I didn't know I misspoke. Is that the kid?
Yeah, it's the Robinson. Phil, what Father McQuarters is talking about is this kid Robinson, and you brought him up, too, when I said to that mother...
Well, Coach Dozier said to her that he was going to cut...
Don't say anything, you dirty, filthy old...
Oh, whoa, man! You guys are having a conversation now, huh?
Oh, no, no.
Hey, but let me just say this, Phil. Hold on, Father.
You called me something like that, friend.
All right, hold on. I said to the mother...
You said you cut... Would you shut your...
All right, I got to call you back.
Okay, so what is that about?
I don't know. It's getting good, though.
Father McQuarters and Coach Dozier, and all I heard was that you... There's something going on between the two of them.
That sounds like what do you call it? Sound like Coach Dozier knows something about Father McQuarters. No, Father McQuarters knows something about Coach Dozier.
Yeah, that just sounds like to me. That maybe Coach Dozier and Father McQuarters got a secret thing.
A secret thing? What do you mean?
Well, I don't mean like they're having sex with them, but they know something.
Sounds to me like Father McQuarters knows what Coach Dozier has over that lady to get her to keep her son on the team. And by the same token, it sounds like Coach Dozier knows something about Father McQuarters.
Yeah, it has something to do with sex.
No, it doesn't. Something else. Something else. Are they back?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah? Well, Coach, Mr. Henry has a rule. You can't...
Put him back on, bud. Hey, Coach?
Yeah, it's Coach Dozier, Phil. I apologize.
All right, is Father McQuarters there?
Yes, Phil. This is Father James McQuarters.
All right, what's the story here, guys? And I don't want any more bull crap.
I said to the lady, the mother of this kid, I said that I would stop the...
Tell her the truth. I'll tell my truth if you tell yours.
All right. I said to her that I would stop the payments that I was making to her in exchange for...
Sex?
That's right, Bill.
Yes.
You were paying the mother of this boy on the team.
He's a great football player, Phil. He's a great football player.
All right, if he's a great football player, then why not allow the kid to be a great football? I don't understand.
Because she said she was going to pull the kid off the team if we had him wearing those pants. And I said to her, great. Good luck buying groceries next month.
Why couldn't you just let the woman have the boy wear something different?
Because we're a football team. Everybody does what I say. Hold on, Father. Hold on. I'm not done yet. All right, Phil, you got me. But I want to tell you something right now. Everybody does what I say. And the reason why they do what I say is because I'm the coach. You understand what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Now, you can do anything you want with the information I gave you. I don't care. But I'm telling you, as long as I coach this football team, the parents don't do anything other than sell donuts, raise money with car washes, stand behind the candy counter and sell the chocolate. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's it. All right, McQuarters, you're on. And don't you hold anything back.
I'm not going to hold anything. Well, the thing that Father McQuarters has on me,
Freudian slip, huh?
A Freudian slip?
I said slip.
No, you didn't. You said swip. Elmer Fudd.
All right, come on. What is it?
I drink. You drink, all right. Tell him how much you drink. I saw him taking about 12 empty soldiers out to the Dipsy dumpster here the other night, Phil. And they were all that Hublin, you know, that Hublin swill?
Is it like a liqueur or something?
Yeah. What else do you drink, huh? Go on, tell him. Tell him, Rummy. Tell him. Grand Meunier. You know how I found that out? He was laughing one day at somebody's really bad joke. You know Bill Christopher, one of our assistants?
Yeah.
Bill tells the worst jokes, and there's McQuarters just drunk enough to laugh at it. When he went, ha, 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 the tongue is bright Kelly green. I started drinking it for St. Patrick's Day, and I got to like it. Yeah, see? So you think I'm Mr. Weirdo? You think I'm the guy? This guy is a lush.
You gentlemen realize that what you've both been very candid in talking about tonight could mean both of your jobs.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, are you kidding me? One guy is paying money to a mother at the school. You, father, you're a drinker, and Vernon's telling it, a drunk?
Yes, that's right. That's all of it's true. But you're saying we're going to lose our jobs. You don't find a guy like me and a guy like McQuarters just anywhere.
No, you don't. You find them usually either on Skid Row or in a jail cell.
What, you lousy...
All right, we have to take a break.
Brent, keep him on there.
Because we got to take a break. I got to go, okay? When you got to go, you got to go. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Hello?
The
Hello?
Phil Hendry Show.
Now I'm back on when you're going to cut...
Hold on. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Vernon Dozier as we continue talking with him. And Father McQuarters, my understanding is no longer there. Is that correct?
Yeah, your understanding is correct, Mr. Hendry.
Okay, I'm glad to know that. What's he doing?
Well...
None of my business?
It really isn't. No, it's none of your business.
And why have you hung on the line?
I called back after you hung up on me.
Yeah, I did hang up on you. Why'd you call back?
I called back because I want to finish my case, if you have the courage to let me finish my case.
Go ahead. But all I know is what you said, you know.
No, you don't know everything I said. You don't know everything I said, sir. You don't know everything that I believe, and you don't know everything that motivates me, Mr. Henry. What you do know is what I told you about the mother of that boy.
Right. By the way, our number is 877-876-7445. Go ahead.
Well, what does that mean, Mr. Hendry?
In case people want to comment on what you're saying.
No, I won't take any phone calls from people. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the audience. I'm not going to sit here like I'm in a dunk tank. And
all right. You don't have to. I'm just giving the number out.
So now people are going to think I don't have the guts to take their phone calls. And
well, no, I'm not commenting one way or the other.
Let me just get to the chase here, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't like you, but I don't. I'll tell you this much, okay? Sir, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
All right. It is true that I paid that woman to have sex with me. The mother of one of my students and the mother of one of my athletes. I paid her. And I paid her a lot of money. But, Mr. Hendry, that money to that woman is, I think, fair exchange. Because I have a healthy perspective on what parents bring the student athlete. I have a healthy perspective. And as I said to you, I don't mind the parents when they sit in the stands and they wave their little pennant or whatever, and they say, go Joey or go Billy or go Sean or go Justin or whatever the names are. I've had a million of them. I've had kids down through every generation of names. I remember when they were Billy and Timmy. And then I remember when they became, Justin. And now they're like Tucker. And it just got more gay.
What?
Nothing. But so when they're up there in the stands, or when they say, oh, coach, can we volunteer to work the concession stand? And I say, sure, you can volunteer to work the concession stand. Please do. And what I'm thinking is, yeah, go behind that counter. That's a good place for you. You can stand there, and you can sell all the Milky Ways and the chocolate. And we had a deal here just the other day. They brought in a shipment from, I don't know where, but the Krispy Kreme, you know what that is?
Yeah, the donuts.
Yeah. We sold a bunch of those. The parents, somebody got the bright idea. I think one of the parents works at one of the Krispy Critter stores or something like that.
You mean Krispy Kreme?
Or whatever it is, yeah, Krispy Kreme. And so one of them works there, and they brought in about 50 boxes of this garbage. And I shouldn't say garbage, very good stuff, but I don't eat it, I'm an athletic coach. I'm a coach, so I'm not going to shovel that down. But I saw them all getting excited about selling their Krispy Kreme. Is that it?
Yes, Krispy Kreme.
I don't know, Mr. Henry. So I said, that's good for you. You go back behind that counter and sell your donuts. Huh? I said, you go behind your counter and you sell your donuts and your Coca-Cola. Okay? But when it comes to my football team, when it comes to my football bench, what's that song you play? Get back, get back, get back. There you go. Get back, get back. You ever heard that song by Big Bill Brunsey? If you black, get back, get back. Well, if you're a parent, get back, get back. All right? What's that music I'm hearing? I'm hearing that.
That's the end of the hour.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that very emotional, insightful, but nonetheless unconvincing.
Wait. Hold on for...
Unconvincing soliloquy there from Coach Dozier. We'll be back with our news and information hour right after this, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil is father of the quarter. Phil.
Yes.
I want to tell you that I respect you and I love you.
Phil Hendry.
And have a cup of coffee.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go through the looking glass every single night, Monday through Saturday, to go places other talk shows wish that they could, but they can't. And how do I know? Well, I was just at the NAB, and they told me.
Really?
Not really, but they had that look on their face. Anyway, nice to be with you guys, and don't forget that this is radio for patriots, by patriots, to patriots, through patriots. Anyway, you get the general idea. You can visit us online at philhendryshow.com. That's where our live streaming video of the show is airing right now. So you have a backstage pass. You can check that out, and that'll get you through the night. Coming up this evening, we're going to be talking with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. And we'll be discussing with him Dancing with the Stars on Monday. Chaz Bono, at one time a female, underwent gender reassignment surgery, is now Chaz Bono, a man, and dancing with the stars. And he will be on stage with a young lady. And Mr. Bozell is going to be talking about that and the media repercussions of that.
Yeah, well, he's talking about what's the effect of that on regular men.
What's the effect of that on regular men?
Yeah.
All right, and then this hour we have Bob Green. There's a grocery strike that may happen in Southern California, and in California may happen nationally. There's also, and has been, a controversy surrounding coupons and how many coupons people use when they go to the store. It turns out now that people who run grocery stores think that too many coupons are being used by some people. It's locking some people out of the system. It's costing some of the grocers money. On the line with us from Buena Park is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. We're going to get to our affiliate spotlight in our next quarter hour, just mentioning a couple of the great stations that do carry the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bob Green joining us, though, from Buena Park, California. He's the CEO and founder of Fraser Foods, now with some 50 stores in the Southwest and the Southeast. Bob, good evening to you.
Good evening, Phil.
And it is a kind of a daunting landscape ahead here, the future for grocers, right?
Well, if you're referring to the possibility of a strike, it's something that we're monitoring it on a daily basis, and we're hopeful that it's going to get settled. We don't, at this particular point, see much that indicates that it will get settled, but it's a problem. There's no question about it.
And then we have this news article that I saw over this past week on coupons.
Well, that was that's been discussed for a long time, and I think it came to the public's attention with this show that they do. I think it's Extreme Shopper or something like that, where they
there's people that trim coupons.
Right, they go through coupon cutting, and they go into the stores, and they're getting the they're trying to get the best deals possible, and that's understandable in this economy. I can't fault people that want to do that. What I can fault is when they're doing it in a manner that may be seen as malicious, Phil. And I know they don't mean to be malicious.
What do you mean by malicious?
Well, when they are bringing in so many coupons that it's very obvious at the end of their shopping spree, the store, whatever the store may be, is going to be hurt. That the store is going to get significantly hurt by them coming in with all of their coupons and getting their big discount. So, yeah, it's a very, as you mentioned, it's a very daunting landscape, and we're trying to take it one day at a time, but it affects how we deal with our customers. I come to work every day, and I want to have a good feeling about every customer that comes through our store, through our doors. It's very difficult, Phil, to have that when you know that there are some of them coming in with these coupons looking, to put it as succinctly as I can, looking to bleed you. And
so that's what you meant by malicious. You think people are coming in with coupons looking to bleed you. Why are they? Why can't you just think of them as people coming in looking to save money?
Well, I would believe that people are looking to save money if it was a trip to the store that saved them. The normal discount, I think, would be, I don't know, if you're saving 10%, but 20%, I don't know. But some of these people are coming in, and they're paying for their entire grocery bill with coupons. In other words, they're not giving me any cash. I see these checkers checking people's groceries, and no money is exchanged. I see no money. And all day long today, Phil, I have been trying to control the checkout situation. You can hear I've almost lost my voice.
Yeah, I can hear. It's a little rough.
Well, I've been yelling from one check to the next. What's going on? How many coupons? And they're yelling back. We're getting a lot of people here that are paying for their entire grocery bill. And at one point, I remember yelling out, if you ever read anything about the Mutiny on the Bounty, Phil, believe it or not, there was a famous moment when Fletcher Christian yells out, "I'm in hell." And at one point today in the store, I remember going into my office and screaming that, "I'm in hell." And we have a series of recording and phone recording devices where we record a lot of our meetings, and I think somebody got that on tape.
You in your office, huh?
Yeah.
Screaming that I'm in hell. We're talking to Robert Green. That's an interesting story.
Well, I remember I'd been reading about the Mutiny on the Bounty, and it just came to me that that's what Fletcher Christian had screamed. And as I walked into my office, it was the same thing.
And all right, so you are feeling very, very strongly about these coupon clippers and seem to be under an awful lot of stress. Is it really costing you that much money?
Well, it isn't. It isn't just that. It's the possibility of a strike as well. And then what happens is you start to take it out on the customer, or you may take it out of the employees, and that becomes a problem.
And what way were you taking out on the customer?
We had a little boy today. It was either today or yesterday. I got to check with Judy, as my accountant. She was there. She saw it. A little boy came in and was wearing a wig. Now, it's no secret to my employees that I have a $15,000 hair system. It's not a toupee. It's not hair transplants. It's not a weave. It is a hair system that I've had for the last 10 years. And it's a outstanding hair system that was originally created by Bill Lindell and his partners. And then it was, I think, duplicated in France. So it is a hair system. And
why do you... okay, so you have a hair system. And
well, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because a lot of people like to say, well, you have a toupee. No, I don't. It's a hair system. It is my hair.
Well, all right. I'm not quite clear.
What happened was this. I went to the Lindell labs, and they fitted me with a hair system. It's not a toupee. It's not implants. It's a hair system.
Is it your hair?
It is my hair now, yeah. And that's how I see it. When this little boy came in wearing a wig, I assumed that it was a joke that Michelle and some of the cashiers had played. I didn't think it was funny. I was under stress from the coupons. I was under stress from the possible strike. And I'd like you to know that, Phil, because of what transpired. Basically, what I did was I got very angry, and I pulled the wig off of this little boy's head. And
all right, now, okay, because I think I had a conversation with Judy, who's your accountant.
Yeah.
She mentioned the little boy had cancer.
He was undergoing some kind of chemotherapy. They put a wig on his head. It was terrible looking, just terrible looking, because when he came in with this crazy looking wig, I thought that they had put this child up to making fun of me. I admit that I was under a lot of stress. I admit that I let the stress get to me. I apologized to the child and the child's mother. I think what made the situation doubly difficult is that this woman proceeded to go into our store, and she purchased some in the neighborhood of $150 worth of groceries, almost all of which was paid for by coupons. And in that instance, I had to just... I had to bite down on it, and I had to bite down on it, and I had to write it.
We're talking to Robert Green here from Fraser Foods. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And really what we're talking about is the strain and the stress of being in the grocery business, in the food business, is so difficult that you let it get to you.
And I fully admit that, Phil.
All right. But I
do want to say that when you're coming in with a child that has been going through chemo and the kid's got a wig on, that is very, very badly purchased, I guess. It looked very bad. It's obvious. It was obvious to me. I thought someone was mocking me.
So you went up to this child and pulled the wig off. My question would be, why would you walk up to this little boy and pull the wig off of his head? Why not just get with your checkers?
And talk about it later on?
Yeah.
You know what? It occurred to me, and it was something that I probably should have done, but I was under extreme stress from this coupon clipping, from the possibility of a strike. I would only ask your listeners to consider this. There's a possibility that we're going to have a strike. There's a possibility that we're going to, you know, have people out walking a picket line, that I'm going to lose business. Put that together with the fact that we've had people coming in over the last 6 months with these more and more coupons that have been more and more abusing, and I use that word quite literally, abusing me and my business with these coupons. It's put us all under a lot of strain.
All right, I understand that you're under a lot of strain, but a little child is a tough individual to take something like this out on.
I understand.
And the little boy had cancer, and
I understand all of that, Phil. But I have been mocked by my employees because of the hair system that I've spent a good piece of money on, and that
why do they mock it?
They mock it because they don't like the idea that I've got a great-looking and a great-fitting hair system. And it's not a wig. It's not a toupee.
And so you suspected that they had this child come in a wig to mock you?
It was my suspicion. Yes, it was.
All right, Robert Green is on the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. And really what's happening is the possibility of a grocery strike, of a worker strike in the grocery business here in California and elsewhere. There is, and that, of course, is always very, very difficult. Then there is the use of these coupons that has increased over a period of years that Mr. Green says his business is feeling the pinch now of these people that are abusively using coupons. Put it all together, you got a lot of pressure, and he let it loose today by pulling the wig off of a little boy who has been undergoing chemotherapy. I don't know what to say about that other than the fact, is there ever any excuse, no matter what kind of business we're in, to react that way? We're going to talk more with Bob about it. We'll give our number out, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I can understand, you know, where business is getting really tough, and God, we're in the middle of a recession, but how do you take out your angst over coupons and a grocery strike on a little boy with an ill-fitting wig because he has cancer? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Robert Green with me from Fraser Foods, a grocery chain longstanding here in Southern California throughout the Southwest and the Southeast, but it's happening all over the country, the price of food. But more to the point of what we're talking about here tonight, what is the pressure on grocers themselves, on the owners of these businesses, whether it's the big chains like Safeway, Bob, or Ralph's, or Kroger's, or the small chains like your store? You are feeling it, right?
We are, Phil, I don't know that anybody that has a business is feeling the pressure from the recession, but we have a double whammy. We have the threat of a strike, and we also have the... this coupon clipping situation, which we've always encouraged our customers to use the coupons that we put in the circulars, in the fold-ins on Sunday. We spend good money to promote our business, but when someone is using those coupons to the extent that some people do, and in some instances you have to sort of just take it, like I had to take it from the woman today because of this little boy.
Now let's refresh. The little boy had come in wearing a wig that looked ill-fitting. You thought it was the wig was to mock you, and the fact that you wear some kind of a, as you call it, a hair system.
It is a hair system. It's not a toupee. But I've taken a lot of, I think, I don't mind good-natured jesting, good-natured kidding, Phil, and good-natured jesting, but I do mind it when it's never ending, and it can get to you. The pressure of it can get to you when you're in the business environment that I'm in.
And all right, now you pulled this wig off of this little boy's head, and I don't know the word. What was it? Something like somebody said that there was some profanity.
There was, yeah, and I regret it, Phil.
Can you tell me what you said?
I said, "You effing kid." And I pulled the wig off his head. And
you effing kid.
Yeah. Again, I'm willing to take all the responsibility in the world for this. Were it an instance where it was entirely my fault, but I was being mocked by my checkers because of this hair system, I am dealing with the coupon clipping, and we're dealing again with the strike. And I don't want to keep sounding like a broken record.
Well, no, I mean, these are very real problems, but I wonder where we draw the line in our businesses and we say, well, look, I'm under a lot of pressure.
And in my instance, Phil, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
In my instance, it's not just a professional pressure. It was personal as well because of the hair system that I'd invested a lot of money in and because of the fact that this child came in at the wrong moment. And let's remember also one other thing. Once I had apologized to the little boy and his mother, the mother then entered my store and did the very thing that I have been battling for many months. She bought every piece of every grocery item, whether it was a food item or not, using coupons, and I don't think she spent more than $10 for a $150 order. You understand what I'm saying?
And, well, isn't that just a wise woman? Now, look, I know about...
Well, it's wise unless you're abusing the system.
No, I know all about what a lot of grocery stores are saying. And we have a tape racked up here, Bob. What is this?
This is me in the office. A little bit earlier today, I was pouring myself a coffee. If you want to hear it, we can go ahead and roll it. And
well, when you say in the office...
This is when I was going through so much frustration.
This is the comment about hell.
Yes, sir.
All right, bud, let's roll that tape. And I think you got it right.
I am in hell! Yeah! That's it. And I'm not proud of it, but I brought it on your program to play it. And to let people know I'm human. To let people know that I am not ashamed to admit my faults. To let people know that I definitely care about my customers. But that all of us in the grocery business are undergoing a real strain.
Well, I heard the I am in hell. That sounded like you were in hell, all right.
It was, as I said, it was, for some reason, the comment made by Fletcher Christian on the Bounty, it just popped into my mind.
Robert Green with us, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Is the business pressure getting to all of us? Are we treating our employees with respect? Are we treating our customers with respect? Is the pressure of a down business cycle suddenly getting to us so severely that we're just, you know, absolutely not dealing with it? 877-876-PHIL. And Bob, we have the instance, and I appreciate you being honest about the little boy.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you being honest that you used profanity.
It was an obscenity, Phil.
All right, yeah, you said this effing kid, or you effing kid?
No, I said, I said F you to the kid, you effing kid, and I pulled the wig off his head, and I pointed to the hair system that I've invested a lot of money in. I looked at his mother, and I pointed to it, and I said, this is a $15,000 hair system. And
do you think that, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think you're losing it?
Do I think I'm losing it? In what sense?
Do you think that you're cracking? Do you think that...
No. What I'm trying to say to you...
Because it sounds like something that you would not want to say to a child.
No, you don't want to say, Todd, I'm not cracking. I'm exhibiting the strain that every businessman is exhibiting. When this kid comes in wearing this wig, what else are you going to say? But you, F you, you brat. And grab the wig.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry
Phil
Show.
Henry.
877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Robert Green from Fraser Foods joining us as we talk about economy, we talk about a possible grocery strike, we talk about coupon clipping and how that may be abusing grocery stores, supermarkets, and so forth. And I don't think it really ever dawns on people, Bob, you know, the supermarket business got to be one of the best businesses to be in, you know.
Well, yeah, if you're one of the big chains, Kroger's, if you're one of the big chains, Ralph's, I can't see where Ralph's gets off. And I've heard Ralph's complaining that there may be a strike. I don't know how they sleep at night. Ralph's has got plenty of operating capital. A smaller chain like me, and this is a real concern, Phil, if there's a strike. And there's also a real concern if there is if there's any hint of abuse in the coupon clipping system. And then I have with all of that strain, customers that come in wanting to abuse the coupon clipping system, and here comes this woman with this little boy. He's 9 years old, I understand that. He has cancer, I understand that, and he's undergoing chemotherapy. I did not know any of these things. All I saw was this very cocky kid.
The kid was how old?
He was a 9-year-old boy, Phil. It was the way he carried himself. It was the way he carried himself.
How does a 9-year-old carry himself?
You know, Phil, unless you operate a business where you're in constant contact with the customer, as I am, it's tough to explain. He walked in, he looked me, I didn't like the way he looked at me, and so...
But he's a 9-year-old kid, Bob, that's what I'm saying, you know?
I understand that, but I'm also under a lot of pressure, I'm also under a lot of strain. He's got a mother there that is about to purchase every grocery that she needs, for only $10 using all these coupons that I just got done, I'm talking to you about tonight. And,
but she doesn't know any of that. And
no, I understand that, but you've got to realize they're there to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to abuse the store owner. Now she's got her son who is looking at me in a way I didn't like the way he looked at me. And then he had on this wig, so I pulled it off. I was angry. I apologize. She didn't do anything other than to continue to purchase groceries with her coupons, and wound up spending $10. So it's an abusive environment for me, and one that you wish the people would understand better.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the line here from San Antonio. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I think Bob needs to grow up and realize about people that kids have cancer and everything, but the other deal is
yes, sir.
That men go bald. I mean,
I understand.
I'm 29 years old, and I went bald at 18 years old. So he needs to grow up and realize people mock bald people. That's all there is to it. It doesn't matter what goes on. People are going to mock you. It's part of life. The other deal is that coupons are reimbursed by the major corporations that you sell the products for. They're reimbursed.
That's correct. That's correct. But to a point. But what happens is this. If people are gaming the system by using coupons for every little thing to the point where they've got a year's supply of food and they've only spent $10, sooner or later that cost gets passed on to me, as it has been, and to be quite frank, it's almost like I'm being in a jail cell someplace. I mean, I'm trying.
Well, we don't need that kind of imagery.
Well, but what I'm trying to tell the gentleman is, between that and this kid coming in with this wig on, it puts a lot of pressure on our business.
Well, you're still getting reimbursed. Are you not getting reimbursed at any point?
To a point, we get reimbursed,
every
and then after that, they do not.
Reimbursement. Every coupon gets reimbursement.
Not all of them, no. Now we're starting to take it. We're starting to have to absorb the cost.
Okay.
So, all right.
Why not just
put
a limit and ask the people that you're selling the stuff for to put a limit to that instead of getting upset at a system that y'all allowed to be flawed for 20 years?
Well, all right, I'd like to do that, but then how do I say that to a woman whose child has cancer?
Oh,
I just said
You're going back to that you're, to me, you have made every effort to make it sound like you were the victim in the whole situation.
Well, that's true.
And
the
kid was the victim, the ultimate victim. And if I tell you,
I agree with you. I got to tell you, I agree with you, but why don't you see me as the victim?
I don't see you as the victim because you are a business owner. You're held to a higher standard. You are a grown man. You are held to a higher standard.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And morality.
I understand.
Than a 9-year-old kid.
It's very difficult, sir, for me to explain how it is as a CEO of a major corporation to someone who may be working on an oil rig. I don't know what you do for a living, but...
Well, what does that mean?
Well, it's hard for me to explain.
I do work in the oil field, sir, and I happen to make about $200,000 a year. So...
I don't believe that.
Well, wait a minute. Why don't you believe that?
because that's more of an income than I allow myself. I don't pay myself. My corporation doesn't pay me that much. Well, you're laughing.
The bonuses that Exxon Mobil makes every month and Shell Oil makes. You don't see how much.
Wait a minute.
Money that they make.
Are you telling me that you work in the oil business? You work in the oil business, which is a business, not you, Jason, but the oil business basically treats the average consumer like they're some punk in a jail cell.
No.
All right.
Do we have to use that kind of imagery, please?
Well, no, but I'm saying that he's on me for ripping the wig off of a kid with cancer, and meanwhile he's in a business. Drill? You bet they do.
Hey, they pay me to do a job, and I'm going to take the money that they pay me.
They pay you to drill me?
You set a price on your product so you make a profit, and you take the money at the end of the day. Do you not?
All right, but you guys are arguing. You guys are arguing your businesses, and I want to get back to, and then we have to move on. I just want to get back to this idea that what Jason, I think, is saying is a good point, Bob. You're the adult. The little boy is 9. You have business pressure. We all do.
No. We don't all do. Yes, we all have business pressure. I give people food. I provide food, and my people are going to go out on strike. They're using coupons that basically, you know, kind of turns me over on my stomach, and everybody in the cell block has a chance.
Everybody
in California that works in a grocery store in a union or what?
There's going to be a big strike. And
yeah, there's a significant strike that's being threatened. I don't know if it's actually going to happen.
Are they a union or what? Is it a union?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. How else do you think they're going on strike? Of course, a union.
That's part of your problem there.
Exactly. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to hold it all together, and some kid comes in a wig.
All right, but the little boy didn't mean to mock you. I got to move on, Jason. Thank you so much for your call. The little boy didn't mean to mock you.
No, I understand that now, Phil. But here's what is not happening here. I'm telling you over and over and over again, I understand, I understand, I understand, I understand. Then when I get around to me, everyone is, this man and you, you guys are telling me that I'm somehow, I got to suck it up. And again, when you say suck it up, well, what are you talking about exactly? Because that's exact. And this guy was in the oil business. If ever there was a business that's passing the consumer around the cell block for a pack of cigarettes. And
what is with this jail rape analogy?
I've used it before on your show.
I understand that, but I we don't need to do that, okay? You are in a business. Times are tough. Again, you are using that to defend your abuse of this child that had a wig on that you pulled off of his head. You said F you to the kid, you effing brat. You're using his mother using coupons as further excuse as to why you treated this boy this way. And all of this has to do with the fact that you have what you call a hair system that apparently your employees are mocking. Here is Jake. Go ahead, Jake. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, just it sounds like to me that your reactions are just coming from your misperceptions of what's going on. You know what I mean? You say that you didn't know the kid had cancer and all these other
That's
things.
Correct. That's correct.
I understand that, but your misperception of him walking in with a wig on, you know, you reacted emotionally to that, and it's going to lead to some consequences. I mean, I don't know if
it's
legal action, but...
But I'm trying to tell Phil, and I'm trying to tell you, Jake, and anybody else, here's why I reacted the way I did. People are using coupons to the point that we're losing money. There's a threat of a strike. I've taken abuse from my employees because of a very expensive hair system that I put into place 3 years ago. So what about the pressure that I'm under?
I understand where you're coming from.
And the other, right. And the other thing, I just want to mention one more thing. The other thing was, and I realize he's a 9-year-old boy, but he came in walking into the store like he owned the place. He had a little bit of an attitude.
Which is all your perception of this young boy. I mean, he could be walking in because he's having a great day. You know what I mean? Maybe the doctor said, hey, guess what? Your chemotherapy's working. You're having a great day. It's, you know, beautiful outside.
Well, he didn't look that bright. I mean, he looked to me like a kid. I mean, what are you saying? You're having a great day like the kid owns an insurance agency? I mean, he walked in.
He's a 9-year-old boy, and maybe he was just happy. Children like grocery stores. They like going in. They like looking at the food. They like going and touching things.
You know.
I'm just saying, you made an assumption based on, you know, the boy's actions, and then your emotional reaction to that was pretty big. I mean, that was...
I think it needs to be said that it was a little out of focus, you know.
Well, I don't know what that means, out of focus. I just wish that, all right, I treated the boy, I said, you effing brat. I offered the mother a discount. It turns out she comes in with these coupons, so she took me to the cleaners. I mean, I think they got back at Bob Green, and at the end of the day, I'm still here with a hair system that my employees are mocking. What is that? Why? And why is that? Nobody has an answer, huh?
Well, Bob, your employees are going to mock you, then I think you need to talk to your employees. Listen, Jake, thanks for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. It is a very tough business environment. There's recession. There's the threat of a strike for this gentleman. There's the misuse of coupons that's been a longstanding tradition in the grocery shopping and in the grocery business that apparently now is costing him money. The fact that he has some relationship with his employees. All of this pressure led to him pulling a wig off of a little boy with cancer and using some profanity today in his store. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Stephen Bozell next hour.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back from the NAB. Well, in our News and Information Hour, I'll tell you about the National Association of Broadcasters radio show that we were at yesterday. Did a panel with great guy Joel Denver, Bubba the Love Sponge, the morning guys from B96 in Chicago, and saw some old friends, and we'll discuss at length, or maybe not. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, Robert Green on the line with us from Fraser Foods, talking about the business climate, that is particularly the business climate that grocers, people in the grocery business, the food business, find themselves in. And, you know, I get it about the coupons, Bob.
I'm Bob.
I understand that, Bob. Thank you. I get it about the coupons. I get it about the
for a minute, Phil, if you don't mind. You see, you get it about the coupons, you get it about this. Look, my business is very important to me.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound flip.
But my business is very important to me. When a kid walks into my store with a wig on that looks as if he wants to do playtime or dress-up time because he thinks Mr. Green's funny-looking, that's going to get to anybody. And
it's going to get to anybody, but it is not going to get to an adult to the point of you F you, kid, you effing this.
Well, I don't know if you ever owned a grocery store.
No, I have not.
All right, then I don't think you know. And secondly, and then, of course, by checkers who make fun of the hair system I've spent $15,000 on, the kid comes in. I lay part of the blame at their feet for mocking me to the point that I'm hypersensitive to that criticism. Knowing, and these are people that may go out on strike. That's what I love about it. They may go out on strike on me, and they get their last dig in by hiring a 9-year-old to come in wearing some Hobo Kelly wig.
But they did not. They did not do that. All of that was in your mind, as this caller has just pointed out. 877-876-PHIL. Monet, I think, or...
Monette.
Ma'am in... Monette in Los Angeles. I'm sorry. Couldn't read it. You're on the air, ma'am. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't really understand what you're talking about as far as the coupon policy goes, and then your employees make fun of you for your $15,000 hairpiece, and then they go on strike.
No, ma'am, it is not a hairpiece. It's not a hairpiece, ma'am. It's not a hairpiece.
Is it the body?
It is a hair system. I beg your pardon?
I mean, is it a hair plant system? I mean, what are you...
No, it is not. No, it is not. It is not plugs. It is not a weave. It's a hair system. It is my hair.
So it's a really fancy toupee, then?
No, ma'am, it is not a toupee. And you see, I find that insulting. If I said to you...
Well, I'm pretty sure if I said the child you ripped the wig off thought was very insulting, considering the fact they have cancer and they're not bald and they have a reason to wear a wig.
Well, ma'am, if I said to you, oh, are those fake breasts, that would be insulting, wouldn't it?
I mean, not really, not quite. In this day and age, and 95% of the people do have fake breasts, it's sort of like a fair question. Although, if I didn't know you, I'd think that was rude, but
it's a little rude.
Don't you really think?
It's a little rude.
Why is it rude?
Because it's a gentleman asking a lady a question. I just think it's rude.
Oh, boy. Okay, so I don't get any... Oh, wow.
But Bob, I'm talking about in a polite society, men don't ask women certain questions, okay? And
well, then why does a kid, a nine-year-old, get to strut into my store like he owns the place?
This is a nine-year-old child.
I don't think anyone can strut into any local grocery store like they own it unless you really don't feel that confident in your business, sir.
I feel very confident in my business, ma'am, but what
I don't really think you feel that confident in your business if you're calling the Phil Henry Show at whatever clock time it is in your hour to complain about whatever it is that went on in your grocery store and you ripped the wig off a kid. I really don't feel that you feel that confident in your business, sir. But if you did,
ma'am,
you would
first of all, I'm in California.
To be nice. Okay, well, so am I. I wouldn't go to your grocery store knowing what you did to a child. And I'm pretty sure you
didn't do anything to
doing that.
I didn't do anything to a child. I took a wig off of a kid's head that was
trying to... I mean, are they not children? I mean, what?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, they are. They're children.
Okay,
and
you ripped a wig off of a child's head who was suffering from a terminal illness because, oh, wow, you're vain, you got a hair plug system, and people make fun of you, so therefore you thought that you can make fun of someone else. You're very vain, and you're very rude.
First of all... I think you need to understand it. If the child, let's not say the child's disease is terminal.
No, sir, I don't think you understand.
Well, I don't think you understand one thing. The woman that came in with the kid, the mother, she proceeded to use coupons that basically drove me.
How about this, sir? I use coupons, and I'm an avid coupon user. How about you read the fine print on the coupon and have your scanners work accordingly instead of doubling coupons that are not supposed to be doubled, allowing more than four in one coupons to be used in the same transaction? That's your fault. The manufacturer coupons specifically state the rules and guidelines. You don't accommodate them. That's on you.
Well, ma'am, you see how you know all the rules that I would have to... I'll bet you are. I'll bet you are, and I'm sure that you are, and I'm sure that you would probably take it... Well, you'd probably try to take me to the cleaners, just like the mother of this kid with the wig.
Well, Bob, again...
No one can take anyone to the cleaners if you don't let them. Read the coupons yourself. Have your scanners work accordingly. Call the tech people. That's on you. If you don't read the coupons yourself, then you can't say you're getting robbed.
I don't know what you just said. You speak very quickly, and I understand it's a trait for Hispanics, but what I'm trying to say is...
Whoa. Let's not go down there, okay?
I'm not a Hispanic, but that's very cute.
Well, you were talking... I'm sorry, Phil.
No, don't start characterizing racially.
Well, she's speaking like the lady that cleans my house talks that fast.
I have to speak over you because you're very belligerent and ignorant, and I have to make sure that I need to say what I need to hear clearly because you won't hear it otherwise. And excuse me if I talk fast. You
have
a college education, sir? You own a grocery store. I don't think people who own grocery stores go to college, do you? Did you?
Now, see how she gets to insult me, and I can't say anything about it.
Why is that an insult?
On my race, you're not intelligent. You did a totally unintelligent thing, so I get to ask you if you have an education. That's fair.
So calling you Hispanic was an insult. Wow. There's a lot of Hispanic people.
I'm not Hispanic, first and foremost.
All right, but how's that an insult?
Okay, Bob. I don't want to get into this.
And you're racially profiling me.
Yeah, I don't. All right. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about race. We're going to continue this into the next hour if you've got the time, Bob.
Well, I do want to correct the record on a couple of things. First of all, this lady said that I didn't go to college. She's right. I didn't go to college. Secondly, she says she's not Hispanic. I think that's yet to be proved. Thirdly,
We got to take a break. Thank you, Monique. It was a very good call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Robert Green from Fraser Foods, back after
this. Phil Hendry.